Torah's the brother-in-law, Rav Meir, saw his brother-in-law eating a vegetable somewhere in the Beit Shan area without being mafresh shumas and maizah. He understood he was an Adam Gadol. Chaziman gavar rabahud kamasad alei, he was an Adam Gadol himself. And he understood that Rav Meir was not mafresh at all. So Rav Yehuda Hanasi, Rebbe, assumed Tzadikim, Hena Kodesh Baruch Mevita Kol Al Yodam Kalachayma from Chamorash or Pinchas Ben Yoyer. So based on that, Rebbe understood that Rebbe Meir must have had a tradition that Beit Shan, that area of Beit Shan, was never in his Kaddish B'Kedusha Sa'aretz. Aye, it says in Sefer Shoftim, Beit Shan is part of Eretz Yisrael. That was the Kedusha Rishayna, but the Kedusha Shniyah is not. So therefore, you don't have to be Mafresh Chumas Amaisus. So Tosus is bothered by the Kasha. This gigantic Tosus that starts on Vavim and base continues on Zainam and Aleph. So Tosus has a Kasha. Here are Gemaras that in Bavel the Amorim used to be Mafresh Trumas Amaisis. So how can you say that in the mitzvah, Min HaTorah mitzvah tli bars, agricultural mitzvahs only apply in Eretz Yisrael, but apparently Midrabanan it applies all over the world. Chala, we have Chalas Chutz Lords in America. All over the world we have challah. Challah is a mitzvah for your bar. It's min haTorah, it only applies in Eretz Yisrael. So don't you see that Trumas and Maisis min derabbanan applies all over also. So Tosis has three terutzim on the kasha. So the first terutz they give is that there's a difference between demai and real tevel. That if you have vaday tevel, that's noig afilu chutzlos, but demai is only a chumre because rovam haoretz ma'asren hein. Rashi writes in different places. Rashi writes that there are two reasons why min haTorah you're permitted to eat demai. Demai means the peris that you buy from an am haoretz. So one reason Rashi gives is because the Gemara says Rav am haoretz maaser nein. The other reason Rashi gives is because eidecha dem isum. He gives it to you and he tells you that it's kosher. It means he's telling you he was mafresh shumas and maasus. Min haTorah he's nemon. And mid rabbanan they were machmer. Towards the end of the tkufas by sheni they came up with a lot of chumras. So this is one of the many chumras. You're not allowed to eat Peres from an Am Ha'aretz. Shad is what he do bizman hazeh. Nobody was mekabel divrei chaveres. You have to be mekabel divrei chaveres to commit yourself just like a ger converts by accepting kabbalas al mitzvahs in the presence of a bezin of three Jewish people. So too, one who wants to become a chaver accepts divrei chaveres. He commits himself to observe all the dinim of our frashus, sumas, amaisis, etc. in the presence of a bezin of three chaverim. So that nobody is a chover bizman hazeh. So if no one is a chover, so you can't trust anybody. Everybody, you can, any food that you buy with the best hashgacha in the world, the people who give the hashgacha are not chaver. So you can't trust anybody. So some have that practice. Some have follow that opinion that you can't trust anybody, and you have to be mafresh chumas amaisus all the time on everything that you get from anybody. And the Pashtus probably is like the Aruch HaShulchan writes. The Aruch HaShulchan wrote on the Arboa Chelkev Shulchan Aruch. Then he wrote Aruch HaShulchan HaOsid. What's going to be if we'll have a Medina and we'll have farmers and we'll have Shumas and Maisers? What's going to be? Shemitah and Yovel and Kakrovus HaKarbonus. So he writes on everything. And the Shulchan Aruch, you only have the Arboa Chelkev Shulchan Aruch and the Dinim that are Noig Bizman HaZeh. So that's the regular Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan HaOsid is relevant today. Now we have a Medina, we have farmers, we have Shemitah, we have all the Dinim. So he writes, Pashtus, that since the whole system fell apart, nobody's a Chabad today. So you revert back to the Din Daraisa, that Eidecha Dem and Bisurim, and then there's no Din Avav HaMoritz Bizban HaZeh, unless you think the person really, Rovam HaMoritz Vom Masrin Hein, unless you have a person who you really think that there's a serious 50-50 suffix or something close to that, that he's not careful about how fresh his shumas is. Amaisa. Okay, then you don't apply it. Echad nem b'yisurim. And echad nem b'yisurim doesn't apply. Choshar al adob, al adonab al ha-me'idoy, as a mishnah b'chayris. So that's the first suggestion that Tosis gives. Maybe, one suggestion, maybe, our Gemara is talking Reb Meir ate demai. He didn't eat tevel vaday. Tevel vaday, all over the world, even in France and Germany, where the Balei HaTosis lived, you have to be mafresh trumas and maisis, nay maisis. No one's mafresh trumas and maisis in America, in France, and Germany. No one. Rashi was a winemaker. Rashi wasn't Mafresh Tumas HaMaisis. But the Bala Tosis came up with such a wild idea. Then Tosis has another suggestion. Maybe here they were eating vegetables. So vegetables, the Gemara says, Maisa Yerek is only Midirabban. Tumas HaMaisis on vegetables only Midirabban. When is Trumas HaMaisis Deraisa? So it's a big machloikas. So the Psukim talk about Reishis means the Truma. The first thing in Mafresh is the Reishis. Reishis Digoncha Tiroshcha V'Yitzarecha. So Tirosh is wine, is grape juice. In modern Hebrew, Tirosh is grape juice, okay? Digoncha is Chameshis Menei Dogon. And Yitzarecha is Shemen Zayis. So on these three for sure, Dogon Tirosh V'Yitzar, these three for sure, Achayv and Trumas HaMaisis. The Rambam's opinion is that if olive oil, Yitzar is olive oil. If olive oil is chayv, means that olives are chayv. If grape juice is chayv, means that grapes are chayv. So if grapes and olives are chayv, how can you distinguish between grapes and olives and pomegranates and oranges and apples and pears? A fruit is a fruit. So the Rambam thinks that all pears are ilon, Achayv and Trumas HaMaisis men ater. The Raiva disagrees with the Rambam. He says wrong, and the accepted opinion of Shulchan Aruch is like the Raiva wrote, that the obligation of Torah is only on grapes and olives, and grape juice and olive oil, and all the other fruits are only chayv midirabbanan. Only dogon tirosh v'yitzar is deraisa. So there's even a suggestion, the Ramban al Torah has a suggestion that only tirosh v'yitzar, only the olive oil, the olives is only chayv midirabbanan. If you eat olives, and Eretz Yisrael is very common, a lot of people eat olives. If you eat, I remember once we stayed in a hotel, every day for breakfast there was olives and cheese, every single day. Every day, till it was coming out of your ears. So the Ramban's opinion Chumash is that grapes and olives is only Midirabbanan, only olive oil and grape juice is their rice. They ask kashas on the Ramban from Mishnayis, it wouldn't appear to be the case. Pashtus says that grapes and olives are chayv min ha-tor, but that's the Ramban al ha-tor suggests like that. So that's the accepted opinion of Shulchan Aruch, that only dogon tirosh v'yitzar is deraisa. According to the Rambam, that all peres are ilan achayv min ha-Torah, what does he do with the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah? In the first perek, the Gemara says that boxer, maisa charuvin, is only midirabban. Charuvin grow on a tree, boxer grows on a tree. So it's peres are ilan, according to the Rambam, achayv min ha-Torah. So the Rambam quotes the Gemara that Baksu is only b'derabban. He says the reason why, because basically Baksu is not Michael Adam, it's Michael Behemoth. The Rabbi says, no, what kind of Michael Behemoth? It's Michael Adam. What's it called? St. John's bread. St. John ate it. Okay. Whoever St. John was, I don't know. So the Rabbi says, no, the reason why Baksu is only b'derabban, because all Paris Elon, outside of grapes and olives, everything is only midirabbanan, different opinions. We spoke about the Ravid. The Ravid learned b'charusa with the Balamor. So the Balamor has a sort of a commentary. It's not really a commentary. He has hasagas on the Rif. The Balamor writes in the introduction to his chibur, the Sefer Hamor, he lived in the city Lunel. Lunel is the moon. That's the French name for the French word for the moon. So he called the name of his sefer Hamor HaKotan. But he says when you come to Nezikin, you can't learn with the light of the moon. You have to have the light of the sun. Because Nezikin is much too complicated. So when it comes to Nezikin, I think Noshim also, he calls it the Mor HaGodol. On Brochus and Moed, it's the Mor HaKotan. Comes to Noshim Nezikin, it became the Mor HaGodol. So the Rabbi learned Pacharus with the Balamor. So he has Hasogis on the Balamor's comments on the Rif. And the Balamor wrote Hasogas on the Ravid Sefer. The Ravid wrote a Sefer on the laws of Taras HaMishpocha, the Bali HaNefesh, so the Balamor has Hasogas on that. So in the Hasogas of the Ravid on the Balamor, at the end of Chulin, we don't have it printed in the Gemara. We don't even have the whole manuscript. 80 years ago, when they found a manuscript of the what they called the name of the Sefer, Kosav Shom, they had to give it a name. They had to give a name to the baby. So they called it Kosav Shom, because every paragraph in the Raibitz Hasagas starts with the words Kasuv Sham, my dear Chavrusa, my dear friend Rabbi Mizrahi Alevi wrote this and this, and I agree or I disagree. He has his running commentary. So when they found the manuscripts, they didn't know what to call it. So they called it the Sefer Kasuv Sham. So they printed that Sefer Kasuv Sham. But the manuscript wasn't complete. It's very incomplete. So, but this comment we have because what's the name of the Sefer from the Rishonim on all the Hilchos, Halachos HaTluyos Ba'aretz? The Kaftav Aferach quotes, Kaftav Aferach quotes this Ravid in the Sefer Kasuv Sham on the end of Chulin. We don't have any Kasuv Sham. Kaftav Aferach quotes the Ravid as saying a big chiddush that even though the obligation to Menat Torah to be Mafresh Trumas and Maestris is only on Dogon Tirish V'Yitzar, but if you go ahead and you're Mafresh on fruits and vegetables, it's Chal Menat Torah. That's a chiddush. We had this chiddush, we spoke about a little bit, there's such a thing as a mitzvah kiyumis, even though you're not mechuyev to do something, but if you do it, there's a kiyum mitzvah. So we had the Netziv and his commentary on Chumash at the end of B'chukosai, comments on Rashi. Rashi writes there, the Pasuk there says, there's a mitzvah of Maisa Behema. And you have to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash and Makriv, the Maisa Behema, it's a korban. So who eats it? It never says in the Chumash, who does it belong to? So Rashi writes against the Gaon, and Rashi knows, Rashi realizes he's disagreeing with the Gaon. The Gemara says in different places that there are Chof Dalid Matnas Kuhuna. There are 24 Matnas Kuhuna. There are more than 24 Matnas Kuhuna. So obviously the Tanaim are including a few, counting a few together. So exactly how do they count it? So there are different opinions in the Rishonim. So according to one of the calculations, in order to come to the number 24, they combine a few together, and then they count Maisa Behem as a separate one of the Chof Dalet Matnas Kuhuna. So Rashi knows he's disagreeing with the Goyim. So Rashi writes on the Chumash, the end of B'chukosai. And Rashi writes on Mishnayos and Ezel Mekoyman, when it talks about Maisa Behema. He writes, it never says anywhere that you give it to the Kohanim or the Levim. So it's understood that the farmer keeps it. The farmer brings it to the Beis HaMikdash, he makriv it as a korban, he eats it himself. If he's tohar, he has to eat a b'kedusha v'tahara. So this is a machlokes whether Maisa Behema is from the Matnas Kohuna or not. And Rashi writes, it doesn't say anywhere that you give it to the Kohanim, so it's self-understood, the farmer keeps it and eats it himself. So the Netziv is bothered with Akasha, there is a Pasuk in Divrei HaYomim that says that when they came back in the beginning of the Baisheni period, the farmer, they reinstituted all the mitzvahs that have to do with the Beis HaMikdash. The farmers were bringing the Maisa Behemah to Yerushalayim and they gave it to the Kohanim. So what do you mean Rashi says it doesn't say anywhere? It doesn't say anywhere in Shas, but it says in Tanakh. It says in Divrei HaYomim. So the Netziv writes, he came to Baal Lashem when he was very young, before his bar mitzvah, and there were still people who remembered Rav Chaim Baal Lashem was not alive anymore. The Baal Lashem yeshiva lasted for 90 years, from something like 1802 till 1892. And then the Netziv was the Rosh Yeshiva the last, I think, 39 years or something like that. That was a very long tenure of presidency. No president of any university lasts for 39 years. He was an old man when they closed down the yeshiva. So he writes, he came to the yeshiva before his bar mitzvah, and there were still people who remembered from Rav Chaim Baal Lashem, and the tradition was at that time, in the name of the Vilna Gaon, that even though the obligation to eat matzah is only the first night of Pesach, the Gemara says the rest of the days of Pesach, it's a rishus. It doesn't mean rishus totally do whatever you want. Rishus means it's a mitzvah, so rishus. It's a mitzvah kiyumis. You're not obligated to eat matzah after the first night. By the Seder, you're obligated to eat matzah. After that, you're not obligated to. But whoever eats matzah, erez a kiyay mitzvah, saseh. There were even communities in Europe where the practice was they recited a bracha, brichas hamitzvah. They would say hamoitzi when they ate a matzah. I guess the Sfardim would say mezonos, whatever. But the Ashkenazim, not the Sfardim, would say hamoitzi on the matzah. Then they would say brichas hamitzvah all 8 days of Pesach. Shekadishana b'mitzvah yisav tzivan v'alachilas matzah. The Steichemid was brought up in Hebron in Eretz Yisrael. And then he got a rabbonis somewhere over there in Uzbekistan or something. And they had different minhagim. He didn't know what was going on. And he corresponded with all the Rabbanim in Europe to ascertain whether the Menhogim of the Balabat, whether they're authentic Menhogim or not. So he writes in the Sechema that that minig was not right. No one holds he's supposed to have bracha all 7 days. It's a question, why not? He said, bracha, the Gemara learns that, the Babli learns that, Gzeru Shavach HaMishasach HaMishasach, linking together, the first night of Sukkot is different from the rest of Sukkot, like the first night of Pesach is different from the rest of Pesach. So just like every day of Sukkot, he said, bracha Leshe Basukkot, why don't you say bracha Al Achilas Matzah all the days of Pesach? So the Balamor has a discussion of this at the end of Psachim. Balamor, the end of Psachim, talks about that. He gives some kind of explanation. So the Stechemen has a whole section. Stechemen is in the encyclopedia. So he has a whole discussion about this topic. Why, if you hold like the Vilna Gaon that there's a mitzvah so shus, why shouldn't you say a bracha all 7 days? It's a good question. But Lamaisa, it's not correct. You don't say a bracha all 7 days. So the Netziv at the end of his commentary, the end of B'chuk Kaisai, writes, when he came to the yeshiva, they said the name of the Vilna Gaon, and he says it's authentic, that eating matzah, the rest of Pesach is a mitzvah so shus. So that's a big breakthrough, that's a big chiddush, that there exists such a thing as a mitzvah so shus. There's a prominent Talmid Chacham in Eretz Yisrael alive today, he claims that it can't be. The Vilna Gaon never said it, he knows better than the Netziv. The Vilna Gaon never said it, because there is no, the word mitzvah means mitzvah. If you're not obligated to do it, there's no such thing as a mitzvah so shus. But the Netziv, of course, that's what they said in the name of the Vilna Gaon. So he thinks that's the answer to Rashi. Rashi holds you're not obligated to give the Maisa Behemoth to the Kohanim. It says in Dibra Yom that they gave. It's a mitzvah kiyumis. Then the Netziv adds on more mitzvah kiyumis. He's prepared to add more. So he says, Lokuach. There's a Gemara about Mitzvah Daf Peches. The Gemara says, Aser Tassas Kol Tvua Zarecha Hayotzi Asod Shana Shana. The Chof Sofis and the word Zarecha indicates it. You only chayv in Trumas and Mises if you grew on your farm. If you buy pears from somebody else, Lokuach is only chayv midirabbanan. So the Netziv thinks, in order to answer a whole bunch of kashas, Lokuach, the chiyuv, the obligation to be mafresh, is only midirabbanan. But if you're mafresh, it's chal men ha-Torah. He didn't go so far as the Ravid. The Ravid, right? The Ravid wrote in the Kos of Shem, the end of Chulin, quoted by the Sefer Kafta Beferach, that all Paris, everything other than Dong Tirish V'Yitzar, the obligation to be mafresh is only by the Rabban. Once you're mafresh, it's Chal Men HaTor. He answers a slew of kashas with that. The Tosis in the beginning of Kiddushin, Dav Gimel, has a whole bunch of kashas and other mesichtas, a lot of kashas. You say like that, right, but it answers an awful lot of kashas. Anyway, so that's what Tosis suggests, a second suggestion. Maybe Dogon Tirish V'Yitzah that in Eretz Yisrael Chayiv and Menat Torah. So in the Chutz Lord, they made Gzera Midrabanan Oto Eretz Yisrael. But the rest of the Paris, all Paris Eilon, Maisa Yerek, Boxer, everything else other than Dogon Tirish V'Yitzah, that's only Midrabanan. So Maspik, if they made a Chumrah in Eretz Yisrael, they make a Chumrah Chutz Lord Oto Eretz Yisrael. It's so goofy, it's only with the Rabbanan Otto Dogon Tirish V'Yitzah. It's like Exeira. So they didn't go so far. That's the second suggestion that Teza gives. But then it comes out that Rashi, who was a winemaker, had to be mafish Chumas and Maisa on the wine. Because Chumas and Maisa on the wine is their Isa. And it's Vaday Tevel, it's not the Mai. Really? Rashi was mafish Chumas and Maisa on the wine that he made. So the real answer is we don't accept the first answer about the difference between the Mai and real Tevel, Vaday. We don't accept the second answer, that there's a difference between Dogon Tirish V'Yitzah Deraisa and Shar Peir, Shar Maisa Yerek. We accept the third answer. The Rambam quote, that's the Rishalmi, doesn't quote from the Rishalmi. The whole din that in Chutz Loretz Yechayiv, the Gemara says in Bavel, used to be Mafrish Trumas and Maisis. The answer is because Bavel is Arotzes, Hasmuchas Loretz, the countries that border on Eretz Yisrael, there are Mechayiv Midarabon and Trumas and Maisis. Why? Because in the days of the Tanaim, it wasn't shaykh to talk about sending tevel from Eretz Yisrael to America. By the time it's going to get to America, it'll be rotten. It won't be royal achila. Today, they send it by plane. They send it today, and tomorrow it arrives in New York, and they sell it in the stores right away. So we are eating Jaffa oranges. So if in the days of the Tanaim, they would have had such a system that they can send Paris Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Loretz, maybe the Tanoim would have made the Chumrah all over. The whole world should be chayv in Trumas and Maases. Because how do you know whether you're eating Paris from Eretz or you're eating Paris from America? But in the days of the Tanoim, the only possibility of living a Chutz L'Eretz and eating Paris from Eretz would be Eretz Yisrael Smuchas, the countries that border on Eretz Yisrael. Amon Amoyav in Bavel, okay, Mitzrayim, okay. So they made a Chumrah Midarabanan, they have to be Mafresh, Trumas and Maases on Paris. Even though you know the Paris grew in Chutz L'Eretz, Otu, maybe the Paris came from Eretz Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael Smuchas. And then it's Chayv, then it's really Tevil, because it grew in Eretz Yisrael. So they made a Chumrah by Eretz Yisrael Smuchas. But if you live in France and Germany, or you live further away, you live in America, then there's no Chayv at all. That's the last answer that Tosafot gives. That's based on the Yerushalmi. That's the Pashtus like that. There's a very difficult Ramo and Chosh HaMishpat. There's one simon Chosh HaMishpat about Prusbul. Shvius Meshameta says Hamilve, when Shmita comes to a close, so whoever borrowed money from someone else, the Torah says, Shamot Kabal Mashe Yadov, you're not allowed to ask for the money. So for many years, the practice was in Chutz L'Eretz that they never made a Prusbul. They used to, if they had lent money before Shemitah, they would just demand from the Loivi should pay the money. What happened? There's a din that Shemitah's Ksafim is Nahegas all over the world. So the Ramo says, well, Shemitah Bizmana says only the Rabbanon. That's what it says in the Gemara. Shemitah Bizmana says only the Rabbanon. Why Shemitah Bizmana says only the Rabbanon? The Gemara never explains why. Rashi explains why. Rashi has a long arichas. Rashi quotes from the Torah's Kohanim, from the Sifra, the beginning of Parshas Behar. It says in the Torah, when you come to Eretz Yisrael, every 7th year you should observe Shemitah. And after you're observing 7 Shemitahs, after 49 years, so the 50th year you should declare as the Yovel. So these are 2 Parshas, there's either Psucha or Stuma, in between the Parsha of Shemitah and then the Parsha of Yovel. Does Yovel apply, Bizman says? So that thing Gemara says, Yovel does not apply. You have to have the majority of the world Jewish population has to live in Eretz Yisrael. Because the Pasuk says, across and draw Ba'aretz Lechol Yoshveho, and thou shalt proclaim liberty throughout the land and to all its inhabitants. That's a Pasuk that's written on the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia. I used to live in Philadelphia. I used to visit at Liberty Hall. I used to walk on Shabbos to visit Mekomes HaKdoshim, Betsy Ross's house, and Dolly Madison's house. I forgot already. And Independence Hall. The Liberty Bell was commissioned by the Jewish community of Pennsylvania to be made in Europe, to be brought to America, to represent the state of Pennsylvania. And then the rest of the colonies thought it such a nice idea to have a Liberty Bell, so it was adopted by all the 13 colonies. At that time, they didn't have 48 states. They didn't have 50 states like we have now. They only had the 13 colonies. So it was adopted by all of them. And they liked that pasuk. The Jewish community of Pennsylvania liked that pasuk. That's what proclaimed liberty throughout the land and to all its inhabitants. So the Gemara says, why does it say? It means you've set free the Eved Ivri. Eved Ivri goes free at the end of Sheish, after 6 years of service, or Yovel, Yom Kippur Shal Yovel, whichever comes first. Either Sheish or Yovel. Eved Kenani says, Eved Kenani doesn't go free, not b'sheish, not b'yovel. Eved Kenani goes free b'shen b'yayin, if you knock out one of the Rosh HaYivarim. Eved Ivri does not go free b'Rosh HaYivarim, only Eved Kenani. And Eved Kenani doesn't go free b'sheish or b'yovel. So the Pasuk says, trust me, dror b'or, is l'chol yashua, thou shalt proclaim liberty throughout the land, means that the Eved Ivri goes free. Freedom. So that's what the Jewish community of Pennsylvania appreciated, the freedom of religion. In Europe, they would force you to worship Abed Azara. They had the Spanish Inquisition in Portugal. They had expulsions all over in Europe. They didn't allow the Jews to observe their religion, to follow their religion. Here in America, there was freedom of religion. All the freedoms, all the freedoms in the Bill of Rights. It's a wonderful thing. You have to appreciate that there's freedom in this country. So the Pasuk says, across from Dor Bar to L'chol Yashveh, so the Gemara in the end of Erechon understands, this mantra, Kol Yashveh Aleho. If you no longer have the majority of the world Jewish population living in Eretz Yisrael, you don't observe Yovel. Fine. So they didn't observe, we haven't been observing Yovel for a long, long time. We count, the Rambam writes, we count every 70 year of Shemitah, We don't count Yovel as a blank year. Years ago, they used to count Yovel as a blank year. They counted 50, 50, 50, 50. And it was 7 times. And then Yovel was a blank year. Then they counted again 7 times. And Yovel was a blank year. And Mizman HaZeh, we don't observe Yovel at all. You don't count Yovel. It's not a blank year. It just doesn't exist. Yovel doesn't exist. So there's a Machlekes HaTanoim in the Torah's Kohanim in the beginning of Parshas Bahar. How do you read the Parshas? It's every 7th year is Shemitah and every 50th year is Yovel. So what if I know in advance? We don't have Kol Yoshevei Aleh. We're not going to have any Yovel. So do you observe Shemitah? Because Shemitah doesn't say that phrase, Kol Yoshevei Aleh. The phrase only appears by Yovel, that you set free there, but every Yom Kippur Shal Yovel, Bizman Shal Kol Yoshevei Aleh. So Yovel doesn't apply Bizman HaZeh, but maybe Shemitah should apply Min HaTorah. And we paskin, that's a simple reading of the Gemara, we paskin that Shemitah Bizman HaZeh is only the Rabbanan. Why? Because that's the way you have to read the Parshios. Every 7th year you observe Shemitah because it's going to lead up to Yovel. And for some reason or another, we know it's not going to lead up to Yovel. What's the reason or another? Because you don't have Kol Yoshevei Aleh. So then the whole observance of the Shemitah is only Midirabbanan, it's not Midirabbanan. That's the Machlokes HaTanoim and the Torah's Kohanim. So the Gemara, both in Gittin, in the Sugya Prusbo, as well as in Moed Katan, and Dav Gimel Amal, Gemara assumes that that's the real Din Bizman HaZeh. The Shemitah Bizman HaZeh is the Rabbanan. The problem came up with the Rambam. The Rambam writes that Shemitah is a Din, every 7th year you observe Shemitah, Bein Bifnei Abayis, Bein Shalom Bifnei Abayis. So what does it mean Shalom Bifnei Abayis? So some of the Nosei Kelim and the Rambam understood Shalom Bifnei Abayis after the Churban Abayis, and they sent all the Jews into Golos, and you didn't have Kol Yoshevei Aleh, you still have to observe Shemitah Min HaTorah, Bein Bifnei Abayis, Bein Shalom Bifnei Abayis. That is the Rambam holds that Shemitah Bizman HaZeh is their eyes. So that's how the Kesem Mishnah suggested on the Rambam, that the Rambam holds that Shemitah Bizman HaZeh is their eyes. It's against the Gemara. So Rabbi Yosef Engel has a whole kuntris that's called Oitzvus Yosef, his name is Yosef Engel. He died 100 years ago, same time as Rav Chaim. He died around the same time as Rav Chaim. A lot of times they have word for word the exact same chiddush. Same chiddushim with the same rice, everything the same. It was different generations, people's minds think differently. Then that generation, that's how they started to analyze the Gemara in the same style. So Rav Yosef Engel was a mechutna of the Kotzker Rebbe, Morgenstern. So he has a long letter, 99-page letter, that he sent to his mechutin, because the Kotzker Rebbe publicized his opinion that they're not allowed to rely on a het mechira in Eretz Yisrael, in Shnas HaShemitah, and the farmers who rely on het mechira have the din of Mechal Shabbos b'fahesed din ka'akum, that we learned in the Gemara. Mechal Shabbos and Rebbe Rabbi Zora, the two exceptions of the rule, Mumla Dover Echod, is din ka'akum. Why they Mechal Shabbos? Because the Torah refers to Shemitah as Shabbos. So just like there's a din Mechal Shabbos b'fahesi dina ka'akum, so there's a din one who violates Shemitah b'fahesi is dina ka'akum. So, and he says Shemitah b'zman HaZeh d'raisi Mechal Shabbos dina ka'akum, a whole cold curry attacking the Zionists who moved to Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Yosef Engel writes, my dear Mechutin, everything you wrote is wrong. So he takes apart line by line the whole cold curry, and it takes 99 pages to explain. He says, Shemitah b'zman HaZeh is not deraisa. He says, I'm prepared to take a shvur deraisa that the Rambam never meant what the Kesem Mishnah wrote. The Gemara says, Shemitah b'zman HaZeh is the Rabbanan. When the Rambam writes that Shemitah is noig bein mifnei abayis, bein shaloi bifnei abayis, means in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, before they built the Beis HaMikdash, in the days of Shaul HaMelech, in the days of David HaMelech, before they built the Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't mean after the Churban HaBayis, when the Jews are sent into Golus. Sent into Golus, you don't have Kol Yoshevei Aleh. He says, the Gemara Paschal is beferish, that Shemitah Bizman HaZeh is the Rabbanan. Because it's only the Raisa, if you know in advance, it can lead up to Yovel. If you know it's not going to lead up to Yovel, so it's not the Raisa. Very fascinating. All of his Svarim are fascinating. Rabbi Yosef Engel, fantastic writer. Big Bekiyas, usually a big Bekiyas. The Rambam happens to have a machlokes with the Gaonim. An interesting machlokes. The Gemara says at the end of the Tkufas Bais Risham, when some of the Shvatim were sent into Golus, even though the Rov of Bnei Yisrael did live in Eretz Yisrael, but there was a Golus of some of the Shvatim, So the Gemara says that Yovel was no longer Noheg, but the Bezdin was still counting Yovel as a blank year to push off the next Shemitah. You don't count 7, 7, 7, 7, Le'er Lamoed. One Tana is of the opinion, Rabbi Yehuda. The Tana Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion, you count 7, 7, Le'er Lamoed. And Yovel is going to be the first year of the next Shemitah cycle. So you're only going to have after 49 years, the next year is Yovel, but the next year that's Yovel is also the first year of the next Shemitah cycle. So you're not going to have 6 years to do Avodah Sakarka and 1 year Shemitah. You're going to only have 5 years. The first of the 7 years is going to be Yovel, and then you have 5 years to do Avodah Sakarka. Then the seventh year is going to be Shemitah again. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. But the Pashta says we don't pass them like Rabbi Yehuda. There is a machlokes between the Bavli and Yerushalmi within Reb Yehuda. What did Reb Yehuda mean? Yehuda says he counts 7, 7, 7, 7 Le'er Lamoed. And after 7 times 7, after 49 years, the next year will be Yovel. And then you count again, 7 Shemitahs, the next year will be Yovel. So you count 7, 7 Le'er Lamoed, and after 7 Shemitahs, the next year will be Yovel. That's what the Bavli says. The Gemara makes a whole calculation, how many Shemitahs did they violate during the Bais Rishon period? And the Yerushalmi has a different version of Rabbi Yehuda, that you have two concurrent counts running at the same time. You count 7, 7 Le'er Lamoed, you count 50, 50 Le'er Lamoed. So the first Yovel is going to be the 50th year. It's going to be immediately following Shemitah. The next Yovel is going to be the 50th year after that 50th year. Going to be the second year in the Shemitah cycle because you count 7, 7 Le'er Lamoed. The third Yovel is going to be the third year in the Shemitah cycle. And then when it comes to the seventh Yovel, it'll be the same year as the Shemitah. So you won't have two separate years. One year is going to be Shemitah, 1 year is going to be Yovel. The Yovel and the Shemitah will be the same year. So Rabbi Yonis HaGoyen, Rabbi Yonis and Eibeshitz, who was a super genius, wrote a commentary on Chosh Mishpat. That's called the Urim V'Tumim. He wrote a commentary in Yeridah. That's called the Crazy Place. And on Chosh Mishpat, he wrote the Urim V'Tumim. The Ksos and the Nesiv is always quoted from the Tumim by Rabbi Yonis and Eibeshitz. They never quote Rabbi Yankev Emden. Rabbi Yankev Emden didn't compare. Rabbi Yankev Emden was a Tam Chochm, but he didn't compare to Rabbi Yonis and Eibeshitz. It's a very sad story in Jewish history. The Rabbi Yankev Emden attacked Rabbi Yonis and Eibeshitz. The whole thing was ridiculous. One of the scholars, Louis Ginsberg, used to teach in the Jewish Theological Seminary. He died a long time ago. So he wrote a book. When I was a little boy, I used to read it. My father had it around the house, Students, Scholars, and Saints. I think his biographies are different Rabbonim, different episodes in Jewish history. So he writes about that episode, about the dispute between Rabbi Yankev Emden and Rabbi Yonis and Eibeshitz. He writes that, I think in German, there's an expression that the most beautiful flowers grow in mud. But you don't concentrate on the mud. You look at the beauty of the flowers. So he said, we should forget about the mud, the schmutz of the machlokes between Rabbi Yankev Emden and Rabbi Yonis and Eibeshitz. Look at the flowers Rabbi Yankev Emden wrote from, Rabbi Yonis and Eibeshitz wrote from. We should forget about the mud that everything was growing in. Unfortunately, it was such a big machlekes. It's terrible. So Rabbi Yonis and Eibeshitz writes on this in Chosh Mishpat, on the Siman about Pruzbul. He writes that according to Rabbi Yehuda, that you don't count Yovel as a blank year. He writes that you have two concurrent counts. You count 7, 7, then you count 50, 50. The first Yovel in the history of the world was the first year after the seventh Shemitah. The second Yovel in history world was the second year after the seventh Shemitah then. And the third Yovel was the third year after the Shemitah and so on. And then when it came the seventh Yovel, it was the same year as the Shemitah. So the Achronim asked, what in the world is he talking about? It's against the Gemara. What, he forgot the Gemara? So the Meshech Chachma, I think, writes, he was assuming that everybody remembers the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says like that. The Bavli Taka says not so. But Yerushalmi says like that. But it's irrelevant because we don't pass them like the Tana Rabbi Yehuda anyway. We pass them like the Chachamim, that you count the Yovel as a blank year. And it pushes off the next count. You count 50, 50, 50, 50. And the 50th year doesn't belong to any Shemitah cycle. So there's a machlekes between the Rambam and the Gaonim bizman hazeh. So the Rambam thinks just like at the end of the Bais Rishon period, the Gemara says in the end of Erchin, Manu Yovlos, the Kaddish Mitin, they didn't observe Yovel because there was a lack of Kol Yoshvech Aleha, but they still counted the Yovel as a blank year to push off the next Shmita. So the Rambam thinks the same should be bizman hazeh. The Gemara tells us that when the Roman soldiers burned down the Beis HaMikdash on Tisha B'Av in the year 70, so the Gemara says it was Matzoi Shvius, is the year after Shemitah. So we can calculate from then which year is Shemitah today. And the Rambam says you shouldn't count 7-7, 7-7, the Olam Avod. The Rambam says you count, you have to know which year of the Yovel cycle it was. You count 50-50-50-50. We don't observe Yovel bezman hazeh because you don't have Kol Yoshvech Aleha, but you count the Yovel as a blanket to push off the next Shemitah. And he says this is not what the Goyim said. The Goyim said you just count 7-7 Le'ol Avod. You don't even count Yovel as a blank year. The Rambam says to him it doesn't make any sense. He thinks that bezman hazeh there's a lack of Kol Yoshvech Aleha. It should be the same as it was at the end of the Bais Rishon period. That even though they didn't observe Yovel, but they counted Yovel as a blank year to push off the next Shemitah. He doesn't understand the Shita of Goyim, but he says he recommends we should follow the Goyim because they lived in Eretz Yisrael. We're familiar with the Goyim who lived in Babel, the Shiltas and the Bahag, and Rav Haigon, Rav Sheri Goyim, and all the many Goyim. We're familiar with the Goyim in Babel, but there were Goyim who lived at the same time. There were Goyim who lived in Eretz Yisrael. The name of the Yeshiva was Goyim Yankov. We usually use the word Goyim in the sense that a very big Talmud Chacham is called a Goyim. The Goyim, the ones, the famous ones, Rav Sheri Goyim, Rav Sadia Goyim, Rav Haigon, they were talking big Talmud Chachamim. But some of them were just fundraisers. Some of the Goyim were just the presidents of yeshiva. The name of yeshiva was Goyim Yankov. The president was Rosh Yeshiva's Goyim Yankov. So it's too long a title, so they called them the Goyim. It doesn't necessarily mean that they were all Goyim. Some of them were not so learned. So the Rambam says, even though he doesn't understand the Goyim, he thinks that you should count 50-50, you should count the Yovel year as a blank year, to push off the next Shemitah. But he says, what can I do? The Goyim lived in Eretz Yisrael and they observed Shemitah. And this is the way they did it. This is the way they observed. We live in Chutz Laaretz. We don't have a tradition. They had a tradition. And the Rambam says, tradition is an important factor in determining what the din is. Even if a lot of times we don't understand it, we should follow the tradition. So the Rambam says, even though he thinks that it's wrong, we should follow the Goyim. They only count 7-7, 7-7. So the Rambam is masig on the Rambam. He says, no, we should follow the Rambam. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said. To the best of his recollection, he thinks this is the only case where there's a machlekes, the Rambam and the Rambam. And the Rambam says, don't follow Shitas HaRambam. And the Rambam says, you should follow Shitas HaRambam. The Rambam is masig on the Rambam. Why the Rambam gave in to the Goyim? You should follow the Rambam. He says, you shouldn't follow them. So Rav Chaim has a very simple beer on the Rambam. He says, in order to establish Yovel as a blank year, you have to have a Sanhedrin, counting the years. Shemitah happens by itself. Every seventh year becomes Shemitah automatically. Just like Shabbos rolls on by itself, no one has to declare Shabbos Bereshis as Shabbos, so no one has to declare Shnas HaShemitah. It happens by itself. But the Yovel doesn't happen by itself. You have to have a Sanhedrin counting. The Rambam says, it says in the Chumash, Sefarta Lecha Sheva Shabbos Hashanim Sheva Shanim Sheva Pamim. So it says in the singular, "Usfarta lacho b'sfira zayma." It says, "Usfartem lachem." So "Usfartem lachem." The Gemara quotes the brisa from the Torah's Kohanim. "Usfartem lachem should take sfira lachalecha v'yachod." It's a chavis hayachod. Each and every individual Jew has to count sfira. But by sfira shnos yovel, it says "Usfarta lacho" in the singular. So whenever there's a mitzvah that appears, sometimes in the singular, sometimes in the plural, so the plural means it's a chavis hayachod. And it's a mitzvah on Klal Yisrael that should be fulfilled by the Bez Nagodol house representing Klal Yisrael. So Bezman has said there is no Bez Nagodol. At the end of the Bais Rishon period, there was a Bez Nagodol. So they were counting the years for Shemitah and Yovel. So they established Yovel as a blank year to push off the next Shemitah. But after the Churban Bais Sheni, the whole institution of the Bez Nagodol collapsed. There's not Bez Nagodol counting. That's Rav Chaim writes in his sefer, a simple answer. Rav Samech has a complicated answer. And the Mishnah Chochma, based on Kabbalah, Rav Chaim gives a very simple answer. It's interesting, there's a Targum Yonis ben Eziel. The Gemara Megillah tells you, Yonis ben Eziel wrote a Targum on Novi, and he wanted to write on Ksuvim, and Min HaShamayim, they didn't allow him to. But there is no Targum Yonis on the Chumash. So what we call the Targum Yonis is really a misidentification. It's really a Rashi Tevis Tafir, it's a Targum Yerushalmi. All right, so we call it Targum Yonis. We're not too sure how reliable it is, because every so often he writes something that's from the Karaim, from the Tzedukim. So we don't know how to deal with it. So some say the whole thing is not authentic. And others stand on the head to far after. There are many Sforim are written to the Miyashiv, all the difficult lines in Targum Yonis. If you really say it was written by a Tana, or by a reliable authority, then a lot of times he's in disagreement, but then it's a machlokes ha-tanaim. He's in disagreement with a lot of dinim, let's say in the Chumash, say in the Mishnah. Can't argue with the dinim of Chumash. He's in disagreement every so often with the Shittas and the Mishnah. There's one famous example. It says when you bring a carbon, you do samachtas yotcha olav, so the halacha says you do smicha b'shtei yadayim. And in fact, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur says he does smicha b'shtei yadayim. It says in the Chumash, and Achrim says he does smicha b'shtei yadayim. In the Targum Yonis, that's Meyuchas, the Targum Yonis of Benazil, and Sebe Samachtas Yotcha in the beginning of Parshas Vayikra, says you do smicha b'yad yamin. So that's befavish against the Mishnah. So either it's written by an irresponsible, non-reliable author, or if it's taka written by a Tana or by somebody authentic, then it's a machlokes ha-tanaim. The Mishnah says you do smicha b'shtei yadayim. And this represents another shita. Every so often there's something in the Targum that's known as a Targum Yonis that contradicts what it says in the Mishnayos Beferish. So the Targum Yonis, that's Miyuchas Yonis, and the Pasuk says at the end of the Shemitah year, all the debts are cancelled, all the halvos are cancelled. Kikora Shemitah Lashem. How do you translate Kikora Shemitah Lashem? So the Targum that's known as Targum Yonis writes, because the Bezna has declared it as the Shnas HaShemitah. The Bezna, Kikor HaShemitah, Bezna has declared it. So Yosef Engel, in his whole letter to his Mechutin, his 99-page letter, to his Mechutin, Kotzke Rebbe, he points this out, and he said, that's what the Ravid was of the opinion. The Shitas HaRavid is that Shemitah B'Zman HaZeh is not even the Rabban. Shemitah B'Zman HaZeh, in the days of the Amoraim, was only Amidas Chasidus. It's not even with the Rabbanan. Why? Because in order to have Shemitah, just like in order to have Yovel, the din is Misafarta Lachar Shevet Shabbos Hashanim, the Bez Nagodol has to count. So to declare that the year is Shemitah, also you need Sfiras Bez Nagodol. So just like there's no Yovel Bezman HaZeh at all, so there's no Shemitah at all. I, the Amoraim, observe Shemitah, it was Amidas Chasidus. Inam Mechuyivtum. But that's quite an extreme opinion. So getting back again, so in Chashamish, but there's one simon as all the dinim are prusval. So the Ramah writes a problem, and the Ramah lived in the 1500s. From the days of the Rishonim until the 1500s, it would appear, and in Eastern Europe, they never used to make any prusval. So how are you talking? So some say, yeah, the whole din of Shemitah doesn't apply, the Ravid writes. The whole din of Shemitah doesn't apply, b'zman hazeh at all, not ben atar, not midrabanan. Because you need a bezin to count. And Rabbi Yosef Engel points out that's what it says in this Targum, that's Miyuchas Lianus Amenazil, Kikor Shemitah Lashem, because the bezin declared it. So the Ramah doesn't go like that. The Ramah writes that Shemitah Bezman HaZeh is the Rabbanon, because the only Shemitah the writes, if you know it can lead up to Yovel, it can't lead up to Yovel because you don't have Kol Yisrael Leah, so the Shemitah is only the Rabbanon. That's how it says in the Torah's Kohanim, we pass them like that Tana, Rabbi Yudah Nasi. And whenever there's a din of Shemitah, the Rabbanan, it only applies to Arotzes HaSmuchas L'Eretz Yisrael. So you only need a Prusbul, and I'm an Amoyev in Mitzrayim in Bovel. But we live in Poland, we live far away from Eretz Yisrael. The Jews lived in Italy, wherever they lived. So it's not Arotzes HaSmuchas L'Eretz Yisrael. So the whole din of Prusbul, the whole din of Shemitah doesn't apply. That's a pella to distinguish between Arotzes HaSmuchas L'Eretz Yisrael with respect to Shemitah, with respect to Trumas HaMaisvus, it makes sense. They made a din midrabbanan, the concluding answer that Tosfos gave. They made a din midrabbanan. Arutzas asmuchas l'arutzas, the countries that border on Eretz Yisrael, are chayvin shumas amaisis midrabbanan, because how do you know that the peiros grew here in Chutzlah? Maybe it really grew in Eretz Yisrael, and they sent it over the border. So they made a din midrabbanan in all arutzas asmuchas, even if you know bevadai that it grew here. You have to be mafish shumas amaisis. Maybe it was brought over the border from Eretz Yisrael. But with respect to Shemitah, what has it got to do? How is it different Poland and in Egypt and Ammon and Moab and Bavel? Everything is the same. You're not talking about any Paris. You're talking about a Halvor. Shemitah, Meshamet, Halvor. Why should it make? It doesn't make any sense, but that's what the Ramo writes. Ramo is defending the Minig. Why for so many years in Poland and in Lithuania and so on, Eastern Europe, nobody bothered to make a Prusbol because Shemitah, Bezman, is only the Rabbanon. Whenever you have the agricultural mitzvahs applying the chutz laretz, it only applies to the rotzus asmuchas. This is not an agricultural mitzvah. Shemitah ben gif, the Shemitah's ksofim, is not an agricultural mitzvah. It applies all over the world, men atayra. Bisman that Shemitah is their isa. The Shemitah's ksofim is knowing b'chutz laretz men atayra. So that's a very peladic ramo. But that's what the ramo says. So these are the three suggestions that Tosfos gave. A contradiction in the Gemara's. Here the Gemara says if something is chutz laretz, you don't have to be mafish chumas amaisis. And other Gemara's say the Amorim were mafish chumas amaisis and chutz laretz. And it cannot be that they brought the peiros from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. The peiros would have rotted on the way. They didn't bring it to Bavel. So Tosfos gives the three answers. So the last answer is the one that we accept. Only by rotzas hasmuchas and Bavel are rotzas hasmuchas. And the first answer was a chilek between Demai and Vadai, and the second answer was a chilek between Dogon Tirish V'Yitza and everything else. We spoke a little bit about Erech Adam B'Yisurim. The Gemara mentions a din, Erech Adam B'Yisurim. What is the source of that din? So that's a famous machlekes Rashi and Tosfos in the beginning of Gittin. I think it's on that base, on the base. So Rashi here, Rashi in Chulin later, says the same as he writes there in Gittin, that base on the base, but he adds on a pasuk. That the pasuk says in Vayikra Aleph, here's the Rashi, the on Yudam and base, Rashi has narrow lines till they become very wide lines. So the last three of the narrow lines, Rashi quotes a pasuk in Vayikra, chapter Aleph, "V'shochat as ben habakar." When someone brings a carbon to the Beis Hamikdash, somebody has to shecht it. Shechitik sher b'zar, you don't need a kohen to shecht it, so someone has to shecht it. "V'shochat as ben habakar." Do you have to have people watching when he shechts it? So you'll have two edim who will be able to testify that he shechted it properly, and everybody's allowed to eat. It doesn't seem so. The pashtus is Shachar is ben Abaka v'lahis kiko. The Chumash did not Torah did not require lahamid edim adover. You only need edim to give an onish mamon or Mrs. Bezdin or Malkus. But for Arayas, okay. But for Edechad and Misurim from the pasuk Shachar is ben Abaka, it seems that Torah hamina kolodam ala shchita v'ala nikur. That's where Rashi says. And Tosfos disagrees with Rashi, Rabbi Natan, there in Gittin, Abbeis and Beis. Rabbi Natan says that Tosfos says that the Mokka for Erech Adam Yisurim is the drosha that the Gemara has in Ksuvah's Daf Ayin Beis. When a woman becomes a Zava, so she has to count Shevinikim. When a woman becomes a Nida, she doesn't eat Shemin Akim, she needs 7 days. Let's say a woman becomes a Nida on Sunday. She has to be a Dam Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Shabbos morning, and then it stops Shabbos afternoon. As long as she makes a Hefsik Tara before the end of Shabbos, Shain, so then those are the 7 days, Sunday through Shabbos, 7 days. She can go to Mikveh Matzoi Shabbos. But if the woman is a Zava, Zava means the same thing, Rias Nida, but it's below Es Nidosa. Rias Nida is Be'es Nidosa. And a Zava below Es Nidosa. When is it below Es Nidosa? So the Mishnah in the end of Maseches Nida says, Eru Yulaf Yam Shebein Nida L'Nida. The Mishnah tells you, when is it Be'es Nidosa? When is it shalom be'estin dosin? So if a woman happens to be a zava, so the Torah says, v'safra lo shivas yamim, she needs shivinikim. So the word lo, v'safra lo, what does it mean v'safra lo? So the Gemara says, v'safra lo li'atzma, the woman is nemenes adaram to say that she counted the shivinikim. So Rabbi Natam said, Tyson says, that is the mocker of the din of Eidecha Nemed Yisur. Some of the commentaries printed in the back of the Vilna Shas, in the back of the Gemara Gittin, point out that this dispute between Rashi and Tosis, what is the mocker, what is the source of the din of Eidecha Nemed Yisurim, is a machlokes in the Yerushalmi and Zeroyim. One opinion is like Rashi, and one opinion is like Tosis, that is based on the Sofer Law. According to the Rabbi Natam, that the mocker is the Sofer Law, so it's talking about a woman. So obviously you apply Eidecha Nemed Yisurim even to a woman. The Pashtus is like that. You come home and your wife prepared supper or your mother prepared food and your mother is Anisha. And Anisha is the menace to say that the food is kosher. You say, she says she bought it at a kosher butcher shop and all the ingredients are kosher. You're not going to go check everything. But we assume, halacha mais, we assume Erech Nemisurim applies to women. But then we came across an opinion in the Mordechai, opinion of the Balei HaTosfos. And then we mentioned there was a great Sfardish Goyen who was a rabbi in Constantinople in the 1700s, whom the Nari Behuda wrote to. There was an incident, Nari Behuda, before he came to the big city, before he came to Prague, was the rabbi in a little village. And at the time it was a little village, the Baal Shem Tov lived in the same village. Baal Shem Tov was a cousin by marriage of the Nari Behuda. Nari Behuda was not happy with the chassid. He got along well with the Baal Shem Tov, but he was not happy with the chassidish movement. And he has a famous tshuva when he says that the chassidim say l'shem yichud kol shebrich hinei muchan mezuma l'kayim mitzvah whatever. He says it's keneged adin. You don't have to say hinei muchan mezuma because tamal l'shma. He's very a short tshuva. He's very opposed to the chassidish movement, but they got along well. So the Nari Behuda and the Baal Shem Tov both had an incident when they were both in the little village. There was a married couple, and the woman seemed to have had an affair with someone other than her husband. Her husband was a learned person. He knew how to learn. So he gave a whole argument why he's allowed to remain with his wife. There's an din of a saita asura labayla. She's not allowed to remain with her husband. You have to get divorced. So he had a whole pilpul why he's allowed to remain married with his wife. So the Baal Shem Tov and all the Rabbanim were tumbling that it's keneged adin. So the Baal Shem Tov made a whole public scandal at the time, and he had to leave town because of that, because they were going to put him in prison because he was attacking this person who was a Karev Lamalchus. The Nari Behuda was salaried by the community. He was the rabbi, so he couldn't make a scandal and leave. That was his parnasa, so he had to stick it out. So he wrote a whole tshuva that the woman is asura labayla, a very long tshuva. And the husband, I think, had six different tzadim lahakal, why she's allowed to be remain with him. And Nari Behuda has a long tshuva, stiras at the aleph, stiras at the base, stiras at the gimel. He rips apart each one of the six kulas that the husband suggested why he's allowed to remain with his wife. And then the end of the tshuva is ishazu asura labayla. But the Nari Behuda couldn't write a tshuva about this incident because they put him in prison. The Baal Shem Tov left town, but the Nari Behuda couldn't leave. He was salaried by the community. So he wrote a tshuva to the Becha David, who was his father's rabbi in Constantinople, making believe as if the Shaila came from Constantinople. It didn't come from the Becha David, it came from his backyard. But he wanted to write a tshuva to say his opinion. So he sent that tshuva to the Becha David. That's Rav Soloveitchik. When he spoke about this, he told the whole history. There was no international mail service at that time. So the Nari Behuda wrote the letter to the Rav in Constantinople, and he gave it to someone who was traveling to Eretz Yisrael. And the way to go to Eretz Yisrael was, first you go to Constantinople on land, and then you go by boat to Eretz Yisrael. So the person who was bringing the letter to Constantinople had another letter. He had the famous letter written by the Baal Shem Tov. Baal Shem Tov and Nari Behuda lived in the same little village. That was before the Nari Behuda became the rabbi in the big city in Prague. So the Baal Shem Tov had an Aliyas Neshama on Rosh Hashanah, and he met Mashiach, and he asked the Masa Yossi, when are you coming already? So he said, when you will spread the teachings of Hasidus to the whole world, that's when Mashiach will come. So the Baal Shem Tov wrote that letter to his brother-in-law, Gershom Kitover, who had already moved to Eretz Yisrael. He lived in Eretz Yisrael. So the two letters were brought together. The letter from Nadi Behuda and Baal Shem Tov lived in the same village. The letter of Nadi Behuda was delivered in Constantinople to the Rav. He was known as the Becha David. And the other letter was delivered when the fellow finally reached Eretz Yisrael. He gave the letter to Rav Gershom Kitover. So the Nadi Behuda, when he writes this tshuva, he says, L'chod HaRav, I'm going to Amarfurs on the Bala Machabe. He wrote a sefer, what's the name of the sefer? Divrei Emes. The name of the sefer, the Shalosh Tshuvas, is Divrei Emes, and he writes a lot of honorific titles on this Rav Becha David. So Rav Soloveitchik told over this story that there was in the late 1800s, same time as Rav Chaim, early 1900s, there was a great goyin, Rabbi Zalcharev, who was a rabbi in Slonim. And he was very sharp. That's why he's known as Rabbi Zalcharev. And he saw that Nadi Behuda writes for such respect for the Becha David, the author of the Sefer Divrei Emes. So he saved a lot of money, and he bought the Sefer Divrei Emes. And he didn't like it, because the Svardim have a different style of writing tshuvas. Usually they just write encyclopedic essays. They just collect what everybody... Years ago, they collect what everybody else says. Chacham Avadia did a job. He's really encyclopedic, so he's gewaldic. But a lot of the Svardish achievers, they just collect the superficial things, and it's of not that much value. So the Rabbi Zalcharev once, every couple of months, the Rabbanim in Europe used to get together. Whenever they got together, they had to talk politics. They would always begin the Divrei Torah. So Rabbi Zalcharev said at the beginning of one of the meetings, when he comes to the Olam Emes, he's going to sue the Nadi Behuda for 5 rubles. Because he spent, because of the titles that he gave to the Becha David, I spent 5 rubles to buy that sefer, the Divrei Emes, and it's a piece of junk, and it's not worth 5 rubles, so I'm going to make him pay me. When he comes to the Olam Emes, he's going to make him pay Grama ben Azikin, me, whatever, why he made him spend 5 rubles to buy the sefer. So Rav Chaim Soloveitchik was there, so he said, what do you say? Do you say Rechanem Risurim by Isha? So he said, of course it applies to Isha. He comes home, his wife gives him supper, and he realizes that everything is kosher. And when he was single, his mother gave him all the food. Of course it applies to Isha. So Rav Chaim said, the sefer, the Divrei Emes, is worth it just for that one essay alone. He collects all the Rishonim who say that Erechadem Rishonim doesn't apply to women. How can it not apply to women? But you rely on your wife, you rely on your mother. So the Mordechai on Chulin says, no, that's a different thing. The principle Erechadem Rishonim doesn't apply to Isha, but there's a different idea. The Gemara says, Chavish Emes, if a religious man dies and he has a house full of peiros, vegetables, fruits, and Eretz Yisrael, and you have to be mafrish, Trumas HaMaisis. He never told us before he died that he was mafrish, even if it's only Bnei Yoyman, even if it was harvested that day, and he got a heart attack suddenly and he died. Chazok al-chaver, chaver means a religious person is careful about Trumas HaMaisis. Chazok al-chaver, shen moitzi mitach siyad adob, shen imesukim. So Ruba Dalesa come on, he can't say Erech Nem Yisurim, he never told anything to anybody, he never implied anything. When your mother gives you food, so she's implying that it's kosher. When your wife gives you food, that's a dechadam misum. She doesn't have to say, there's no dimit piyam alone piksavim. If she gives you the food, that's implicit that she's saying that it's kosher. But here the fellow died, chavish emes, v'indiach megura malei peres. He leaves a house full of food. So we have a rubid l'leisa kamon, we assume, we know the man is religious, so we assume he was probably mafish chumas amaisis right away. So the Rishonim, the Mordechai says, Erechanem Yisurim doesn't apply to women. Let's say a woman has a restaurant somewhere and she's wearing a shetel and she looks like she's, I don't know who she is though, and she says that this food is kosher. You don't say Erechanem Yisurim. If I know who the woman is, I married her and I dated her and I know my mother and I know my sister, I know my daughters, and I know that they're religious people. So then it's a chazok al-chaver. But Erech Nem Yisrael, strictly speaking, doesn't apply. So this clearly is against the Tosfos. Tosfos says the whole makor of erech nemisurim is pasuk v'safra lo liatzma, and the pasuk is talking about women. So according to Tosfos, it's not possible to say like that. According to Rashi, it's possible to say like that. Maybe the pasuk v'shochat has ben abokar, and Rashi adds on v'lo hiskiko. The Torah didn't require lahamid edem adover. Maybe that's only if a man is shechting. Maybe if a woman is shechting. A woman may shech, the first taste is quotes from the Gemara Zerachim, women may shech korbanos. There's nothing wrong for women shech to korban. But in the pasuk, it doesn't really say beferish. Shochat has ben abok, and maybe only goes on a man. Why should you distinguish? Why should you say Erechem Nemisurim only applies to men, it doesn't apply to women? The din of Erechem Nemisurim even applies to a ganav. Even applies to a ganav. A ganav has them, even though a ganav is puzzled, is Mamanus and the Pashan Tobit should be every need an eight kosher, and a ganif is pusilatus, a rush is pusilatus, but for Edech Nemesurim, if he observes kosher, he is Neman, even though he's absolutely a gangster. If he keeps kosher, he's Neman. A kosher al adobel, adonim lamira. One who doesn't keep kosher is not Neman on kosher, but if he does keep kosher, then he is believed. And Karev Ma are also good. By Edech Nemesurim, Karev Ma good. So why should you say that Isha is no good? So the answer probably is, I'll be Pashtus, that there is a din of Nimtzeh and Eidim Karev Apostle. Famous Mishnah, the first parak in Makkas, that if three witnesses come to testify about a halvoa, three witnesses come to testify about a murder, any case, and one of them turns out to be Karev Apostle, one of the Apostle means a Rasha, or a Karev relatives, and not only can you not accept his, I've got to say this, since all three testify together as one big cat, so that's a din of Nimtzeh and Eidim Karev Apostle. Eid is cool in the tail. So the Nesivis, and that siman of Nimtzeh and Mehem Karev Apostle, quotes from the Tumim, Rav Yonis and Eibishitz, that there are six cases of an Eid Apostle where we don't apply the rule of Karev Apostle. Even if you had three Eidim, one of them is one of these six people, you don't say Karev Apostle. Who are the six? Cherishai to the Kotten, Ebed Isha Akum. Why shouldn't you apply Nimtzeh and Karev Apostle? So he says, what if you have three witnesses testified on a case, and then one of them happens to be a parrot. The parrot knows how to talk Yiddish. And he tells the bezin the whole story. And they give him a drisha b'chakir, and he gives all the information. So you're going to say, Nimtzeh echem hem karev apostle. The parrot doesn't have a shame aid at all. The dinim's Nimtzeh echem min ha'edim karev apostle. A parrot doesn't have a din aid. So if you have a cherusha to be cut, then he's a la badas, not kosher ladies in any case. And the eved isha akum never namonim in any case. They have not namonis in any case. So they don't have a shemaid at all. So since they don't have a shemaid at all, so they can't say Karev Apostle. That's what the Tumim writes, and the Nesivis thinks that it's correct. The Aruch Laner, I think, writes like that. The Maharam, at the end of the first perek in Makkas, Tosfos asks a famous kasha, Ech matzini yedeinu v'ragleinu. That's Tosfos Loshen. The Gemara has such an expression. Ech matzini yedeinu v'ragleinu. How do we observe the Dini HaTorah? Every time you have a wedding, so there are always relatives standing there, always relatives watching. The cousins are standing under the chuppah, the relatives are there. Tosfos asks from a get also. Tosfos says, every time you have a get, the whole family is there. That we don't have that practice. The Baal Hat Tosfos had such a practice. Whenever a girl got divorced, the whole family made a whole party out of it. And they had a whole catered affair. I don't know. But we have it by wedding. They're always crying from there.
In Italy, up until 100 years ago, they used to say Mazel Tov and they have a
L'chaim. Oh, so the whole family got together. Okay, good to know. So Tosfos asked the kasha, there are krovim standing there. So the Maharam, on the bottom of the Marsha, Maharam Lublin says, who are dinami that could have asked the kasha that there are women standing there? The Maharam assumes that Karev Apostle applies even to women. And I think the Aruch Laner comments over there, why didn't Tosfos say they're women? No, he doesn't quote the Tumim, he doesn't quote the Nesiv, he says on his own. Women don't have a shemaid at all, so you can't say Karev Apostle. So that's probably what the Sheet and the Rishonim is driving at. That you only say, Russia is Nemon by Erech and Nemisum, Aganav has Nemonis if he keeps kosher, and Karev Ma Nemonim, because a Karev Apostle has a shemaid. Is a shemaid puzzle, but since he has a shemaid, so by Erech Nemisurim it's good enough. The psulim, the din that a Russia doesn't have their manis, and a karev doesn't have their manis, doesn't apply. But an isha doesn't have a shame eid at all. So therefore, even eid echad and miserim doesn't apply either. There's such an idea, the Pnei Yeshua has such an idea. There's an institution, midirabbanon, of shvuya. A Mishnah in the second parak in Ksubis. The Tanoim invented a chumra midirabbanon. In Atar, there is no such thing. Midirabbanon, there's a din. If a woman was held imprisoned in a goyish prison, not because she didn't pay income tax. If she didn't pay taxes, then they're not going to rape her, because she can sue them. If in America, if the prison guard is going to rape one of the women in the prison, they'll write it up in all the newspapers. So they can't do that. We're talking in a backward country, Nishkin democracy, and they have a right to kill the person because it's Aliske and the fascists. They have a right to kill her. So they have the right to do whatever they want. So if the woman was held captive by the goyim for a while, Shvuya is asur lekuhuna. She's not allowed to marry a kohen, and if she is married to a kohen, she has to get divorced, because we're afraid that maybe she was nensa, maybe she was attacked by the goy. And if a woman, an eshes ish, is nensa, she's called the zayin asur lekohen. Kimishenivu lelapasul lepsova. She's asur lekohen. Min haTorah, there is no such thing. Min haTorah, it's not even. The woman says she was not nensa, so we don't believe her. The person is not neman on himself. Then the Mishnah tells us a story. Rav Schaya ben Atkulos was a Tana, and he and his wife were both held in prison. And he was a Kohen, I think. So they said his wife is a Shvuya, Asura LaKohen. He said, but I was there the whole time. I was there the whole time, and they didn't touch her. So they told him, Ein Adam Nemanai Deatzma. Ishtai Kegufa Balki Ishtai. Just like the woman is not Nemanis on her own to say about herself that she was not Nensa, so the husband is not Nemet to say on his wife that she's Muteris to him. That's what it says in the Mishnah. If another woman says, I was there the whole time and they didn't touch her, the other woman would be Nemet. And the other woman, another man, someone, another person says. But if the husband says, that's considered Balki Ishtoi, Eron Nemet Al Deatzma. So the Pnei Yeshua says, from the Lashon of the Mishnah, it sounds like they're invoking an ancient din that existed. That's an old din. What do you mean an ancient din? Where do you have such a din? They're making it, the rabbis are formulating the din in front of our eyes. They invented a din of Shvuya Asura L'Kohen, and then they said that it doesn't apply. She's, even though the woman says Tohirani, we don't believe her. But if another woman says about her she's Tohira, we would believe her. If the husband says, we don't believe him. So they're making up the din under our nose. They're inventing it. So what did they say? Amr Chachamim, no, Ein Alam Neman Al Deyatzma. They're invoking an ancient din where there is such a din. So from the Pnei Yeshua says, from the Mishnah would appear that that's an old din, that even at Eid Echad Neman B'Yisurim, also, a Baldover is not believed. That's what the Pnei Yeshua suggests. Then you have the Shilti Yiborim. Pnei Yeshua lived in the same time as the Nadi Behuda, 1700s. Shilti Giborim was way before. Shilti Giborim was the Ramo quotes of Shilti Giborim already. Shilti Giborim has the same idea. The Pnei Yeshua didn't have a Shilti Giborim written on the side of the rib. Shilti Giborim was written by Rabbi Shua Boaz, the same one who wrote the Torah or the Mar Mekoymes and the Masoras Hashas and Nine Mishpat, their mitzvah. So he's the one who wrote the Shilti Giborim. So he also makes the same deal kind of Mishnah and Ksubas. It sounds like there's such a din there, I say, even a Kroivim Anemonim. But a Baldover is Ein Neman. Why is a Baldover Ein Neman? So we say the Reb Shimon Shkop writes in the Shari Yosha, if you say, like the Ravid has a famous Shita by Pagina Dibura. So the Ravid's opinion is that the Baldover himself doesn't have a Shemei. A person says about himself what he did, he doesn't have a Shemei. You have to be someone other than the Baldover. A Russia has Neman to say Eidecha Neman Bisurim. A Rosh has a Shemeid, but is an eight puzzle by Mominus and the Fashas and Davishabiyeva. A Kravim have a Shemeid. That's what is the din of Korav Apostle. But by Baldover, according to the Rabbi, there's no din of Korav Apostle, because he doesn't have a Shemeid at all. Just like Isha, just like the six people that the Nesiv is quoted from the Tumim, Cherusha Tvikot and Ebed Isha Akum, don't have a Shemeid at all. So according to the Rabbi, Baldover doesn't have a Shemeid at all. So it's interesting, Rabbi Shlomo Eger, the son of Rabbi Kiv Eger, has a oris on the back of the Gemara that's called Gilyan Maharsha, Shlomo Eder. He has an Oris on the bottom of the page in the Shulchan Aruch. That's also called Gil Yamasha. He's very fascinating. He always has something sharp to say. Every so often he'll quote his brother-in-law, Chassam Sofer. My brother-in-law wrote in a Jewish. And he tells you, he always gives Marmakomas. So Shlomo Eger on Yerideya, in Simen Kuf Chav Zayin, when they talk about Erechad Nem Yisurim, Kuf Chav Zayin is the middle of Hilchas Tam Yenam. Erechad Nem Yisurim should really be in Simen Aleph in Yerideya. It is a little bit in Simen Aleph, Erechad Nem Yisurim, but it's mainly in Simen Kuf Chav Zayin. Why? In the middle of Stam Yenam, who's believed to say Nesnasach Yenech? Because the main discussion in the Gemara in Gittin about Erechad Nem Yisurim is in the context of Nestasa Kenech, Amal Echad Nestasa Kenech. So whereas the Rambam took all the Gemaras and he put them all in order, Shulchan Aruch put all the Rambams back out of order. So he puts everything in the same order that it appears in the Gemara. So you have to be a Baki and Shas to know where does the Gemara discuss the topic of Erechad Nem Yisurim and the context of Stam Yenam. So that's what you'll find it in Shulchan Aruch. All right. So that's where it is. So when the Shulchan Aruch says Erechad Nem Yisurim, so Shlomo Eger writes, and the Gil Yamashua, there is a Pnei Yeshua in the second parak in Ksuvas, where the Pnei Yeshua is Medayik from Nishna. He doesn't quote the Shulta Gibarim, he just quotes the Pnei Yeshua. It's interesting. Pnei Yeshua writes that that a Baldovar is Zeina Neman by Isurim. Even though a Rosh and Kroivim are Neman, Baldovar is not Neman, he doesn't go into the Hez, but the Hez probably is because he doesn't have a Shemay. So he says he thinks that it's not correct because the pasuk, the whole makar of Erechad Nem Yisurim, according to Tosfos, is the pasuk in Chumash that says v'safra lo liatzma. So v'safra lo, the woman is counting the shivinikim. So isn't she the baldover? So the truth of the matter is, if the makar for Erechad Nem Yisurim is v'safra lo, so he's saying that Erechad Nem Yisurim applies to women. Women don't have a shame made at all, and nonetheless, you say that it's accepted by Erechad Nem Yisurim. So, if women are accepted, so Baldov is also accepted. If you hold like the Bechad David's Vishayim, if you hold like this opinion that's quoted in the Marchai, that Erechad Nem Yisurim does not apply to women, then there's room to say it shouldn't apply to Baldovar. So what about that? The pasuk is beferished by a woman, you say Erechad. So if women don't have a shame made, and nonetheless they're accepted for Erechad Nem Yisurim, Baldov is going to be good also. But just to discuss the case, and when a woman says she counted Shivanikim, is she really the Baldover? So the Pashto says she's not. That's not called a Baldover. A Baldover is, let's say, we're discussing whether the woman was Nensa, whether the Shvuya was Nensa or not. So there, the woman is the Baldover. Someone was Ma'anasar. You need two people to have a Maisa's Nus. You have to have a boiler and a Velas. And even though they can, he can be, he probably, if he was Mizana, whether he was Ma'anasar, she didn't want to participate, but she did participate. Bal Korcha, she did participate. She participated in the Maisa Bia and the Maisa Znus. So that's called the Baldover. But just because a woman becomes a Zav, a woman becomes a Nida, she's the Chepsa that we're talking about. She, even if she made herself into a Nida, even if the woman takes some kind of a pill that causes Riyaz Dam, that's not called the Baldover because she made herself. The din is a woman becomes a Zav, a woman becomes a Nida. It's only called a Baldover if she's the Bala Maisa, then you call her the Baldover. So she's not really, you can argue the point, she's not really the Baldover over there by the Sofer Loliats. Anyway, that's a famous Machlokes, Rashi and Tosfos. The Rashi is here, Yudam and Beis, the Rashi quotes Vayikra, chapter Aleph, that it says, V'shochat as ben Abokar. And the more famous Rashi is the Rashi in Gittin. And that basically, HaTorah Meira Kol Odom Al HaShechita. And Tosfos has a reason why they don't want to accept the Rashi. They explain there in Gittin why. So Tosfos says, no, the mocker is really V'safra Lo Liatzma. If you say V'safra Lo Liatzma, then it's a dead giveaway that it applies to women also. So this opinion that the Bechad David wrote a whole essay, that Rab Chaim Soloveitchik taught the whole Sefer, Divrei Yemes was worth 5 rubles just for that one essay, that he quotes all the Rishonim whole like that shita. That's interesting. So that a woman is, you don't apply Erechad Nem Yisurim to women. If you know who the woman is and you know that she's observant, then you can trust her because Chazak al Chavish and Motzim to Chazak as a Ruba Dolei Sekamam. But it's not really based on Erechad Nem Yisurim. an interesting collector's item from the Rishonim. So that's the Gemara. Eidecha Neman B'Yisurim Ad Yudah Mebeis, the Gemara says. The din is Eidecha Neman B'Yisurim. Yeah, we had a din of Safik Deraisa L'Chumra. Safik Deraisa L'Chumra means if it's 50-50 or something close to 50-50. What if it's 90% Lohokel and then you have a Safik, 90% likelihood is Lohokel. And it's 10% chance that it's also. So that's not called Safik Deraisa L'Chumra. That's called Haloch Achar Haroiv. That's governed with the Pasuk and Parshit Mishpatim. Achram Lahatas. The original Pasuk Achram Lahatas goes on a split vote in the Bezin that you go Basar Roiv. But also included in the Pasuk is that any time you have a suffix, so you go Basar Roiv. The Gemara is going to discuss that the Pasuk only referred to here the top, the third line from the top of Yud Aleph and Aleph. The Gemara quotes the pasuk from Shmos chapter Chav Gimlach Ram Lahatas that you go Basar Roiv. Gemara says maybe that's only Ruba the Isakamon. How do you know that you even follow Ruba the Leisakamon? So the Torah talk, the Gemara talks and talks and talks. The end of the discussion is that you do rely on even on the Ruba the Leisakamon. What's the mucker? That's the question. So Rashi is not sure. Rashi on the top of Yud Beis Amid Aleph is not sure. Is it Aloch Al Moshe in Sinai? That's the fifth line in Rashi, Elavad, fifth line in Rashi, Yud Beis Amid Aleph. The fact that you rely on a Ruba de Leisikamon doesn't appear in the Chumash. Maybe it's Halach al-Moshe Misinai, or maybe this too, our tradition has it, the Ruba de Leisikamon is also included in the Pasuk. So that's two Lashonis in Rashi. The Pasuk goes on Ruba de Isikamon, and the Halacha says even Ruba de Leisikamon also you go Basar Reif. What do you do when you have a Suffix Sakona? You're not allowed to commit suicide. That's today's Sedra. Achaz Dimchan Anav Shasech Medrash. You're not allowed to do anything that will be detrimental to your health, even if you're not going to die. How do you know? So the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, and the Gemara Brachas quotes, that a goy told, there was a goy came to a rabbi while he was davening, and he started a whole conversation. The rabbi didn't stop davening. He finished till the end of the Shema Esrei. So the goy said, I could have killed you. Rabbi, why weren't you mafsik in the middle of Shema Esrei? Don't you have a din? So the rabbi said, but you didn't kill me. So you see, it was not pikuach nefesh. Maybe it was a wise guy. But the din, whenever there's a real suffix, hakanas nefashis, so you're supposed to talk in the middle of the Shema Esrei. So the goy quoted the pasuk, v'nishmata mi'od anav shesechen. So that's a question. That pasuk, if you look in the Chumash, that pasuk says, "Nishmatim yodan napshasech kilo meisim kol tmura b'yomdi b'ashem imochem b'har chorev." When the Rabban Shalom did the Maimon Hasina, you didn't see anybody, you didn't see any goof. So God doesn't have anybody. So "Nishmatim yodan napshasech," don't worship avodah zarah. But it doesn't mean take good care of your health. So the Maharsha, I think, says on that Gemara that this is the pshat that the goy said in the pasuk, "Nishmatim yodan napshasech, take care of your health." That's not the true pshat in the pasuk. You look on the Rambam does quote that pasuk. That pasuk, the pasuk, and today said, "Achaz dimchel nafshasech medrash," is telling us that suicide is not allowed if you cause yourself to die. But if you don't take care of your health, that it's also an issue. You have to not allowed to be overweight. You're not allowed to eat unhealthy foods. You have to make sure that you should live to be healthy. So the Rambam quotes that pasuk in the Shmata Miyoda nafshasech. So what if there's a suffix sakana, and the roiv is, I have a food, it may be poisonous, may not be poisonous. The likelihood is 90% likelihood that it's not poisonous. But there's a 10% chance that it is poisonous and I may die. Are you allowed to eat it? So the Gemara says, absolutely not. The Gemara says in Ksubas, the end of the second paragraph, let's say a person is sick on Shabbos. And we're deathly sick. We're afraid he may die. So we drive him to the hospital. Mechal Shabbos. What if the likelihood is he's probably going to die anyway? Even if I drive him to the hospital. There's a slim chance that we can save his life. Well, the likelihood is that he's going to live on anyway, even if I don't drive him to the hospital. So the Gemara says, you ignore the Reiv. You have to be Mechal Shabbos for the Suffolk, even for a Sfek Sfeker. In for a Sfek Sfek, you have to be Mechal Shabbos to extend the person's life. So that's what the Gemara proves, Chamira Sakanta Me'isur. The Gemara proves that even though in Issa V'Heter, the Pasuk says, Achram Lahatas, you go Basar Roiv, but when it comes to Safik Sakana, we don't go Pasura. You have to be Mechal Shabbos even if there's a slight chance that you'll save the person's life. There's a safe Isa Veheta Ha'oruch that's written by Rabbeinu Yoina. And most of the editions, it says on the title page, it's by Rabbeinu Yoina Girondi, the one who wrote the Shari Tshuva and so on. Rabbeinu Yoina was a mechutna of the Ramban. Their children were married together. And then when they had a child, so the Rabbeinu Yoina had passed away, so the Ramban recommended they should name the baby after Rabbeinu Yoina because he was a holy tzaddik. Everybody recognized him as a big tzaddik. So the Isa v'Heter, that's a mistake that they write that it was written by Rabbeinu Yoina Girondi. He was a Sfardi. And the Isa v'Heter Ha'aruch never quotes any Sfardim. It's from the base Midrashim of Rashi and Tosfos. Never quotes any Sfardim. So it's a different Rabbeinu Yoina, someone else. But it's quoted on Yerida Day, every single page in Yerida Day. We quote something or another. For the Isa v'Heter Ha'aruch, the Rosh HaTevis, Alevav Hei, is Isa v'Heter Ha'aruch. So the Rabbeinu Yoina there, and the Isa v'Heter talks about the Basabuchalab, Tarubis, Malicha, Shchita, a lot of things that appear in Yerideya. Then there's one chapter about Pikuach Nefesh, about Safik Sakonas Nefeshes. So he quotes that there was one Bala Taisus, we never heard of him, he gives you the name, not the Rabbi Natan Moderi, not from the famous Bala Taisus, who was deathly sick when he came Yom Kippur, and the Shaila was whether he should fast. So the doctors of that time, the doctors in the days of Bala Taisus said, if he fasts, for sure he will die. He was so sick. If he eats, there's a slim chance that he will survive. So he decided, Ein Safik Motzi Midei Vadai. So he's not allowed to eat, because he's deathly sick, he's Vadai going to die. If he eats, there's a slim chance that he may survive. So he passed on himself, Ein Safik Motzi Midei Vadai, is not allowed to eat. And lo and behold, he died. As predicted, he said, if he fasts, he's going to die. So he died. So the Rabbeinu Yoina there quotes that all the Bala Taisus were angry at him. He said, Dama Barosha, he did wrong, he was supposed to eat. Even if there's only a Svek Sveka, that the person will survive. You have to be Mechal Shabbos, you have to eat on Yom Kippur, any slight Sofik, you have to Doche Kol HaTorah Kulam. I remember there was a Balabas who told me, I remember we ate by him when we visited South Africa. So at the time that we visited him, he was married to his second wife. Said his first wife died years before, and when it came to Yom Kippur, she was very sick. And they asked the doctors, if she fasts on Yom Kippur, will she die? So they said, no. But then she died a few months later. He says, it was obvious she died earlier than she would have otherwise died, because she fasted on Yom Kippur and made her weaker. He said, the doctors misunderstood. They thought, if she fasts on Yom Kippur, will she drop dead on the spot on Yom Kippur? So they said, of course not, you're not going to die on Yom Kippur. But he says it clearly shortened her life. And that's really, so he was telling me I should be Mefarsim of the Din, that because Nefesh is Decha Kol HaTorah Kula, not only if there's a suffix that the person may die today on Yom Kippur, if you're going to cause the person to die one day earlier than otherwise, then it's also called Pikuach Nefesh. There are some people who never fast, non-observant Jews, they never fast on Yom Kippur. Anything they say, it's a Safik Sakonas Nefashos. They're afraid that by fasting on Yom Kippur, they had the fat and the healthy and the overweight. They say they may die a day earlier than otherwise. They're probably going to die a day early because they're overweight. Because of other reasons, not because they're fasting on Yom Kippur. But if you can really ascertain there's really a Safik, a Sfek Seka, that by fasting on Yom Kippur, you may die a day earlier, that's called Safik Pikuach Nefashos, says Decher. Not only if there's a chance you may die today. It's also called Safik Sakana. So that's what the Gemara says. Chamira Sakanta Me'isur. Safik Deraisa L'chumra only applies if it's 50-50 or something very close to 50-50. But if it's a roiv, so then you say, that's not a Safik Isa Deraisa, that's Acharam Lahatas, you follow roiv. But Bikuch Nefesh, the Hocha Bikuch Nefesh Sachar HaRoiv. The Rishonim at the end of Yuma, the Gemara, that Gemara appears in the end of the first parak in Ksubas, the Hoch Bibkoch Nefash Sachar HaRoiv, and it appears in the end of the Gemara Yuma, the last parak in Yuma. So the Rishonim there, the Malchamas and the Meiri discuss a question, what if you have a case of Din and Nefashis, you have a Bezna of 23, a Sanhedrin Ketana, of 23 Dayonim, and they have a split vote, and it's 13 say that he's Chayim Mis and 10 say that he's Potter. So the Mishnah says, you go basurav and you put him to death. So the Rishonim ask Akasha, lehocha bibekoch nefoshe sachar haroiv. Why don't you say this is slim? This is not even so slim. It's 10 to 13. Not such a slim chance. There is a chance that he's potter from Isa. So why do you put him to death? Why don't you say you don't go basurav when it comes to suffix sakonis nefoshe? So you have to understand what the answer is. So the Ramban says that a Bezdin of 23 is a Sanhedrin, and you can, when you have a unit, then you have a right to say Ruba Kukuloi. If you're just talking about possibilities, likelihoods, if the person is going to eat on Yom Kippur, fast on Yom Kippur, will he die? You don't have a unit. You're figuring out likelihoods. So then you don't go Basaroi when it comes to Din Nefashis. Even a sex faker, you have to be Mechal Shabbos, you have to eat on Yom Kippur. But if it's if you have a vote of a Bezdin is considered one big unit, then you say Ruba Kukuloi. So this din, that Sofik Daraisa L'chumra, what kind of a din is that? So that's the first chapter in the Sefer Shev Shmaitze has a machlokes between the Rambam and most of the Rishonim, the Rambam and the Rashba. The Rambam's opinion is that the din of Sofik Daraisa L'chumra itself is only mid the Rabbanim. Mid Atara Sofik Daraisa is L'kula. There is a Kesef Mishnah in Hilchas Tumas Meis commenting on the Rambam. The Kesef Mishnah says that there's some Kisayat of the Rambam have a line added on here. The Rambam asked the Kashan himself, how can I maintain a position that Safik Deraisa is Lekula Mideraisa, it's only Lechumim Mideraabanan, but there is an institution of Asham Talui. If a person ate in a restaurant and after he finished he ate meat, after he finishes eating, the waiter says, oi, we may have served you chalev. We're not sure. There's a suffix whether he ate chalev or he ate shuman. So the din says that he has to bring Hashem Tolui. So what does he have to, what does he need a kaparet? According to the Rambam, it's mutar l'chatchila to eat something that's suffix chalev, suffix shuman. Suffix deraisa, l'kula mideraisa, it's only l'chumim midirabban. So the Kesef Mishnah quotes Aksav Yad, and by us it's printed in brackets in the Rambam, things in Perek Tes and Luchas Tumas Meis. So we have this line added on the Rambam. When do I maintain a position? The Sofik Deraisa L'chumra is only with the Rabbanon. That's by Yisurei Lavan. But by Yisurei Kores, then the Rambam agrees that Sofik Deraisa L'chumra B'Deraisa. So the Pashtus is that that Girsa is not correct. Because the Rambam himself says Sofik Deraisa L'kula B'Deraisa is even by Shabbos and even by Arayis. So Shabbos and Arayis is Kores. So the Kesef Mishnah defends it, says Shabbos means Tchumen and Mechamer. Tchumen and Mechamer, there's no Kares, only Lamentas Malachas. Come on. The first thing that comes to mind when you talk about Shabbos is Tchumen and Mechamer. So he says, the Rambam said, Sofik Deraisa, Lekulim Deraisa, by Shabbos means Tchumen and Mechamer. And Arayis, he means Chayv Yelavn. Chayv Yelavn is not called Arayis. Pashim Shad and Rambam is not so. Even by Chayv Yekrisis, the Rambam also said that Sofik Deraisa is Lechumer Midirabban. It's not, how do you have an institution of Hashem Tolui? If it's Mutar Lechatchila Min HaTorah to eat, the Sofik Chelik, Sofik Shuman. So the answer is that the Rambam paskans like that opinion in the Gemara, so Sugya increases, it's a Machlokes HaTanaim, whether Yeshem LaMikra or Yeshem LaMasoris. When you have a conflict between the Kri and the Ksiv, so Lechatchila should try to establish the din based on combining together with the Kri with the Ksiv. Like it says, Kiyutan Mayim Al Zera, and the word Yutan should have been spelled Yud Vav Tav Nun, and it's spelled Yud Tav Nun. So it's Ksiv, Kiyitain, the Kri, and Kiyutan. So there's a contradiction between the Kri and the Ksiv. So the Gemara Darshan's Yutan Dumi the Yitan. Just like Yitan is the Nichalei, so to Yutan, if it rains, I have a bushel of apples that I just plucked off of the tree, and it's raining outside, and the rain falls by itself. Yutamai mazera. It rains on the food, and it's nichali. I'm happy about it. So then it becomes huchshe lekabel tume. We establish the din based on combining the kri with the ksiv. Yutam dumi adiyin. So Taisa says, whenever you can establish a din based on make a combination between the kri and the ksiv together, that's the best. But if there's no way to blend the two in together, then it's a machlokes hatanaim. The pasuk like the ksiv, the pasuk like the kri. That's called yeshem la mikra, you follow the kri, or yeshem la masoris, you follow the masoretic text, that's the ksiv. So the Gemara has one of the examples of this machloikas, whether you follow the ksivi, you follow the kri, is by Oshem Tolui. Because it says, V'yasa achas mikol mitzvah Hashem, asher lo si asenu v'yashema. So it says, mitzvahs, this is how the Gemara seems to say, mitzvah should have really been spelled, mitzvah is mem tzadik vav, hey. And when you want to make a plural, let's say matzah, mem tzadik hey. Matzah, so you add vav tov. So mitzvah, mem tzadik vav hey. You want to make mitzvah, so you should really have mem tzadik vav tov. Is that really true? That's how you spell mitzvah, mem tzadik vav tov. He spelled mitzvah, mem tzadik vav tov also. It's a problematic Gemara. So the Gemara says, decree, us achas mikol mitzvah is Hashem. But the ksiv only has one vav. So if you follow the ksiv, it means that even if you only have one chaticha, have one piece of fat, I don't know whether it's chel of Hashuman, so I'm chay v'ashem tali. And we followed the kri. V'as ha'achas mikol mitzvois Hashem, and you have to have chaticha achas mein shtei chatichas. It has to be ikva yisura. I know for sure that there's chelev here, I just don't know if I ate the chelev. If I have food, I'm not sure whether it's chelev or shuman. That's not ikva yisura, so then there's no chiyur v'ashem tali. The only time there's a chiyur v'ashem tali, it's a different type of a suffix. Ikva yisura, I know for sure that there is chelev, it's a tarubis. I know for sure there's chelev, I'm not sure if I ate the chelev or not. But if you're not even sure that there is chelev, then there's no din of v'ashem tali. So that's what the Rambam holds. That's what the Pimgon said. That's what the Rambam holds. If you have one chaticha, you're not sure whether it's chelev v'ashuman min ha-Torah, it's mutter to eat it. And if you ate it, you're not chayv any kapor. It's mutter min ha-Torah. If you have two chatichas, one is chelev, one is shuman, it's a tarubas of chad b'chad. You don't know which one. So then you're not allowed to eat it min ha-Torah. A suffix that's ikve yisur is a most serious suffix. There's vadai chelev here. You just don't know. It's a tarubas chad b'chad, so it's not bottle b'roiv. So then the din is that that's an issa min ha-Torah to eat it. Let's say sofik derabanan lekula. We have a din sofik derabanan lekula. So if you have food, I'm not sure if it's kosher or treif, but derabanan, the sofik derabanan lekula. What if you have two chatiches? I know for sure one of them is treif, but derabanan. I have chicken that was cooked in milk and chicken that was cooked in coconut oil and coconut milk. So one of them I know is basa b'chol derabanan, the other one is not. So you would say sofik derabanan lekula, you're allowed to eat whichever one you want. No, that's a nikva yisur. I know for sure that one of them is osur. So you don't say safik derabanan lekula when you have a nikva yisur. So even though the Rambam holds safik deraisa lekula med deraisa, it's only lechumer med derabanan. But whenever you have a nikva yisur, then it's lechumer med deraisa. That's the simple answer on the kasha. How can the Rambam maintain a shita that safik deraisa lekula med deraisa only lechumer med derabanan? What do you do with the parsha of Oshem Tolui? So the way it's printed in the Rambam in brackets, Kes Mishnah quotes that Ksav Yad, it's because Chavi Krisis, the Rambam agrees that Sofik Deraisa, Luchomim Deraisa. But the Pashtus in the Rambam is not so. Because the Rambam says by Arayis, and he said by Shabbos, he also says Sofik Deraisa, Lukulim Deraisa. Arayis is Chorus and Shabbos is Chorus. And the Teres that the Kes Mishnah gave is very Deuchik, that Shabbos means Trumin, and Arayis means Chavi Alavin. It doesn't mean that. And the simple answer, how can you have an institution of Oshem Tolui, is you only have Oshem Tolui when it's Ikvei Yisur. Ikvei Yisur is Chaticha Achaz Me'en Shtei Chatichas. Yeah. There's a case where there's a Sofik Deraisa, and you don't go Luchumer. Where is that? Sofik Tumah B'Shus HaRabim. Sveika Tomei. Sofik Tumah, Sofik Deraisa Luchumer is B'Torah Sofik. Sofik Tumah B'Shus HaYochid. It's Sveika Tomei B'Torah Svadai, not B'Torah Sofik. That's what Tosis points out. Sofik Tumah B'Shus HaYochid is Tomei Vadai. Because the Gemara, where's the Tosis? Here, the top Tosis on Tess on the base. The Gemara says in Nazir. Okay, maybe we'll continue next week. We'll start again from the Tosis Tess on the base. But Sofik Tumah B'Shus HaYochid B'Shus HaRabim. Good.